Hi, this is Jen and Rebecca, your hosts of Can We Get a Minute? Thank you for tuning in today.
Wait, Jen, what's Can We Get a Minute?
What a fantastic question, Rebecca. So for those of you listening, whether you are on your commute right now, whether you're in your prep period, or you're putting together this month's seasonal bulletin board, Can We Get a Minute is a podcast for educators about education policy. Rebecca and I will talk a little bit about who we are today, but we are putting together this space for you to really talk about the things that you see happening in your schools, how we can all advocate for change, and most importantly, understanding how those things got there in the first place and untangling kind of this knot of policy, because ultimately knowledge is power. And we could all be a little bit more powerful, feel a little more powerful in living through another big moment of change.
So Jen, we're going to use a lot of acronyms and a lot of jargon and talk at a really high level, right?
It's going to be so wonky and everyone's going to be very, very bored. No, our whole point today, I think we all know that education policy, and I don't think education policy is alone in this space, but it can get very, very wonky. It can get a lot of acronyms, a lot of lingo, a lot of jargon. Sometimes even myself as a policy worker will be in a room and I do not know what people are talking about with all of the keywords just running back and forth. The conversation we want to have in this space is one where we're actually going to actually bring it into the classroom. What do things actually mean for students, for you, for the people in your buildings, for families? And we want to talk about it in plain English in a way that makes sense to everybody. So that is what this space is going to be for going forward. It's something that we're really committed to, and it's something that we think our educators deserve. You deserve to understand the decisions that are being made at the policy level, and you deserve to be a part of those decisions. And our hope is by providing this information, you will feel more empowered and more knowledgeable about being a part of those decisions and making sure that you have a seat at that table.
100%. So we know that there's a lot of questions in the field, right?
Why does the federal government force us to use the curriculum?
Absolutely. And I don't think anyone is confused as to why. I think, you know, I alluded to before, I think education policy can be a particularly difficult knot to untangle. We have decisions being made by the federal government. We have even more decisions being made at the state level. We have decisions being made by our school boards, decisions being made in your school building by your leadership. We have decisions being made by educators in their own individual classrooms, by parents. There's some educations that get made by students about their own individual education. So it can be really difficult to figure out how did this particular thing happen. And I know that I've heard, you know, there can also be great frustration in asking these questions, because too often educators are saying, why is this happening in my classroom, mm-hmm. in my building? And they're hearing, you know, well, we didn't make that decision, like as school leadership, or that was above our heads. And they're saying, well, who did? And there's not always an answer to that question. So we don't necessarily, Rebecca and I, have the answer to all those questions. We are all going to go on this journey together. We're going to bring in some experts. Today is just us, but it won't always be. But our goal is really to take a question, a real world thing that you are seeing in your building, in your classroom, and we're going to trace it backwards to how that happened through all the layers of policy in plain English, trying to untangle that knot one question at a time. And that's what we're going to do here every episode.
Yeah, we're so excited to do that. And I have to say, like, there's a reason for why we're doing this now. I think we all know that this is a scary time for educators. There are a lot of people in this world, in this country, making a lot of decisions for us as educators, for our young people, without ever consulting us as educators. And some of the things that we're hearing sound really scary. And mm-hmm. we want to make sure that people understand that it might not be as scary as we think. To your point, it's really complicated. There are so many layers to this. And we created a system that was designed that way. On the one hand, it makes it really hard to change things when we want to change things for good. But also when things are not so great, it makes it really hard to change things. And that's a great thing. And our goal here and our hope here is that we'll give folks the tools that they need to be able to change things in their own classroom and in their own community.
Absolutely. And Rebecca, one of the things that was really central as we were kind of conceptualizing this podcast was making sure that we were speaking directly to educators about education policy. Do you want to talk a little more about that, about just why educators in particular have such an incredibly important role, not just in their everyday work in the classroom, but in our entire policy system?
Well, I don't know if you know this, Jen, but right now, our future presidents and our future congresspeople and our future doctors are in someone's classroom today, right at this moment, as we're recording this podcast. And our educators are the lifeblood of our nation. Like, education is the great equalizer. Our educators are doing incredible work every single day. They are on the front lines of all of our issues every single day, whether it's like mental health issues or like other kinds of health and safety issues. They're just in it every single day. And frankly, you know, I was an educator. I used to teach. I was also a principal. And I always felt alone. I mean, I might have felt okay, like in my classroom, and like I had great colleagues and things like that. But I didn't really know who to go to, how to ask the right questions. I had to go to grad school to do that. And I don't think everyone should do that, frankly. I also think that it's like we need our great educators to stay in their classrooms because that's the most important work. What I'm doing, not as important. What they're doing is the most important work.
So I think another thing that's really important about our focus on educators is, you know, we're talking about right now, here we are as a country again in another big moment of change. I think all of us would love maybe to live through a few less big moments of change. We've had quite a few in recent history. So just a note for me to the future maybe. But our educators know about change. They are no strangers to change. Educators are having to change things constantly, down to the curriculum you're being asked to teach, how you're setting up your classrooms, how you are pursuing your own professional learning, how you become educators, how you're actually getting certified and going to school. I mean, these policies are constantly changing. And I think one of the things that Rebecca and I are really focused on in our policy work is that often after a policy is implemented, it's rolled out in classrooms across America, and pretty early on, educators know whether it's going to be successful or not.
Listen, Jen, sometimes we know before it's even rolled out.
And, you know, sometimes I know things need a little time to get on their feet, but I think from early days, most educators could tell you like, oh, this could work. This is going to be great. Or, oh, this is going to be a disaster. This is a disaster. And unfortunately, that information that educators already have sometimes takes years. In worst case scenarios, it can take decades to get back to the policymakers making these decisions. And that is on so many levels unacceptable. I think unacceptable because we're not getting the best policy, because we're not getting good feedback on policy. But also as a classroom educator, that has to be infuriating because you have this really specialized knowledge. You see what's happening. And it's not only that that's being disregarded, but it's not even being heard. Like no one's like, where is that information going? And so what we want to really provide is a way to get that information back into the hands of policymakers. And we really want educators to understand you are the experts on our education system. And so if there's something that you're seeing going wrong in your school, I guarantee you it is not just your school and you are not the only one. And it's a point that needs to be raised. And so that's part of the reason that we're structuring this podcast the way we are with the questions, because the things that you're seeing that you're like, that seems odd. Like often
odd is such a nice word for it.
Yeah. That information has to get back to a policymaker who maybe had a really great intention planning something theoretical that you would know from the offset would just never work in a classroom of like 20, 30 young children.
Yeah.
So we really want to build a bridge between those two things. And I think what might be helpful also for those of you tuning in today to understand is kind of Rebecca and I's background in this work. So Rebecca, if you want to talk a little, I know you talked about you were previously a classroom educator, but some of what you do now at Alfred.
Yeah. So I started my career as actually a paraprofessional while I was still in undergrad, and then continued on to be an early childhood teacher. And then I got the privilege of starting and running a really incredible school. And I loved every minute, well, maybe not every minute, but like 99% of the minutes in the classroom and leading the school and getting to shape like hearts and minds in a really beautiful way. But the whole time I kept thinking, like, I know that like I'm making a difference for the 28 little people in my room or the, all the students in my school building. But I felt like there were these big problems and I couldn't figure out how to fix them. So like I said, I went to grad school and now I get to lead our federal government relations work at All for Ed. And so I spend a lot of time working with our super highly functioning federal government. I get to go to Congress, talk to the administration, talk to people who have worked at the Department of Ed for decades who are so incredible, like our career folks there. And I get to learn from them, but also do a little educating of them. And something that I've said for my whole time working in like policy and government relations is people love to talk to me because I'm a former teacher, but they do not ever talk to current teachers. And we're trying to change that.
Absolutely.
And Jen, we'd love to hear a little bit more about you.
I'm so glad. So I actually came to this education policy work from almost a completely different like experience on kind of the spectrum of people who go to grad school, which I also, I got a degree in political science and was like, what do I do now? And they were like, you have to go get another degree. And I was like, oh no. Oh. So I actually decided to go to law school. I really fell in love with the way that the law was written and the way that laws come together to make things actually happen in the real world. It's something that really fascinated me. And so I went to law school with a specific interest in learning that, learning how the law actually becomes the law, how it gets made. And so after a brief foray, unsuccessful, into being a courtroom attorney, I came back into the policy world and started practicing education policy. And so I have a number of my siblings are classroom educators. It's topic that I was always deeply, deeply fascinated in. And I have had the opportunity to work on a number of levels in education policy. So I've worked both at the state level in specific states doing advocacy and that state level policy. And then also now at All for Ed, I work at a national level, but I'm Rebecca's counterpart on the state side. So I help states, all 50 states, but we try to put out proposals that will be the best policy proposals nationally. And we look at how states actually get policies made. And we try to draw on exemplars and ideas that are coming from one state that might be helpful in another. So bringing that lens of like state and local policy into now this more national role, which is really exciting. And I think something that's very central to both Rebecca and I's work and how we work together is this commitment in the center to ensuring that the voices of the people who are actually enacting these policies, being educators, are actually informing what policies get made. And, you know, Rebecca, you said it yourself, there's not a lot of mechanisms for that right now. Like there isn't like a national convening where educators get to go once a year and get nominated to go have their voices heard before Congress. I mean, that like, that'd be a beautiful idea. Like
if maybe we should do that though.
so there are organizations that bring educators to the Hill and things like that. I know that's true. We've done stuff like that as well. But I think on a larger scale, what we really want is, you know, for those of you listening and for those of you who are not educators, you know, you're welcome here as well. You don't have to leave. But for those of you listening to know that like there are ways for you to have your voice heard now, but I also want to recognize your time is very, very valuable. Your time is more valuable than my time. And so the last thing that I want you to do is to be so excited to advocate on an issue, so passionate about something, and then you're spinning your wheels at the wrong level or at people who cannot actually enact the change you want. So we want to show you in this where the levers of change are so that you can dedicate your very, very valuable time. And we'll spend our time finding where those levers are and communicating that to you for the questions that you have. But I think one of the things we're going to give you every episode, we're going to give you action steps that you can take if you want to work on this specific issue that we're talking about that episode. However, I think something that we want to make very clear from the outset, you know, I think we hear a lot in our work, and I'm sure you hear as well, you know, people are like, we want educators to be empowered to advocate. We want educators mm-hmm. to be empowered to act, to speak up. And I think that's all very well-meaning. And it all comes from a really beautiful place and wanting educators to feel empowered. But what we really don't want is for you to feel that the world is on your shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's really, really important to us.
Absolutely. Like every single day, what you do by just showing up and like smiling at your students, like, you know, giving them a pat on the shoulder, teaching them how to read or calculus. I don't know calculus, but you know, some people do that. That is the most important work. And just being there and being a safe space for them is incredible. And we are so thankful for you all for that work. And that to me is the greatest form of advocacy.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, showing up every day for your students it's an act of radical hope. Like you are working to bring up the next generation in this really important way. And I know, you know, from talking to the educators, like in our own lives, Rebecca, probably from your own experience, like for many of us who are not classroom educators, you know, I'm working from my house right now. For those of you joining us on video, you're seeing like my house in the background. And you know, if I'm having like a bad day, right? If something really terrible is happening in my personal life, like maybe I can like take a few minutes to cry between meetings, right? For those of you in front of your students in classrooms, I just want to acknowledge, we know you, that's not a luxury that you have. Mm-hmm. If something's going on in the world, if something's going on in our country, if something's going on with you personally, you are in front of that classroom, in front of those kids. You know, on a personal level, I remember I was in high school on 9/11. I remember the reactions of all of my teachers. Mm-hmm. And so we are talking to the teachers, like they're students who are going to remember where they were in some of these things that happened mm-hmm. in our country and in our world. And you are going to be those teachers. And I just want to like, we recognize that. And so you don't have that luxury of like, I mean, maybe you like are in like a supply closet for a few minutes, but then you're back on. Like even your prep periods, we know you're busy. And so, you know, we just want to recognize the amount of stamina and mental and emotional fortitude like that takes.
Yeah. And we're not even considering the stuff that they carry for their students. We know that, you know, absolutely. You hear stories and you know, we know educators and have been in this place where you hear a story and like the reality is you can't take that little person home with you and you have to let them go at the end of the day. And that's so heavy and so hard. And we know that every day where our educators are walking around and they do feel like the weight of the world is on their shoulders.
Yeah.
Our goal is to really take some of that weight off of them.
Absolutely. Like, and so what we never want you to come away with is this sense at the end of an episode where like now drive to the Capitol, like mm-hmm. go see your,
email
like,
the president. Yeah.
You're like, I'm just trying to get this coffee into my classroom so I can start my day. Like I understand. So we're going to give action steps, but we're always going to have a level one, which is just that you listened, you got informed about this issue. You know, maybe an opportunity will come up at some point for you to talk about it with somebody in your life, but like just keep showing up for your kids, for your students, for yourself. And that's mm-hmm. always enough. So we're going to offer other action steps every episode for if you are listening and you're like, oh man, this particular issue, I want to go further. I'm really lit up about this and I want to do something. So we want to make sure that you have those, but we never want them to feel like an indictment of like that you're not doing enough. Like I said, just being here in the space, being here in your schools, it's more than enough. It's more than we are doing today.
100%. But today I actually do have a real request. Like if you're watching, like just subscribe right there and keep following us here on whatever platform you're on. Subscribe to this podcast. We're also on Blue Sky. And if you have a question, email us and we'll do our best to answer it in one of our future episodes. We might not be able to get to all of them, but we will do our best.
Absolutely. And we're going to jump in next episode with actually the question that started this entire concept. We have the opportunity to go be in classrooms so that we can stay close to the work. And in one of those opportunities that I had, an educator approached me to ask, I think, a very good question. Mm-hmm. And we're going to play that question for you now.
I'm wondering why we serve donuts for breakfast. I thought we were supposed to provide our students with nutritious meals. And I'm wondering who decided that a sugar bomb is the right way to start the day for 28 kindergartners.
Oh, I can't wait.
So join us next time. And can we get a minute to talk about school nutrition? And we hope you'll join us then.